grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the words of Simeon. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Well, this changes everything, doesn't it? In fact, this changes everything. That's the sermon title. It comes from a song that we sang back in college days. The last line of each verse was, "For I believe that Christ is changing everything." The line just before that in the final verse, get this, "I want to celebrate my death with all my might, for I believe that Christ is changing everything." And so Simeon he's well advanced in years. He's nearing that time. He's going to leave this world. And he's celebrating. How's that work? As amazed as a teenager, this actually happened. I'm going to describe it to you. It was on a Sunday morning, and we were going to have communion that day at our church, and the pastor was teaching the youth group Bible study that day, and he took up the Song of Simeon, and he told us kids what Simeon was actually saying. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And he said, Simeon was saying, it's okay, Lord, now I can die. Lord, now let me die. And then he explained the why and the wherefore. And when the youth group Bible study was over, we went into church and came time for after communion, singing the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And we're looking at each other and kind of winking and nudging each other, and we've got this secret. We know something that's been a secret, and I wonder if any of the adults know what we're singing. That's how it is with kids, isn't it, that way? I'm sure they did. But Simeon, what leads to this? He could depart in peace because he had seen the Son of God, and the words and promises of God with eternity in them had taken hold of his soul, connected him with eternal life. That changes everything. There's a prayer that's spoken normally out at a cemetery at a committal. It goes like this, "In the midst of life we are in death, O Lord, and to whom shall we turn but to you, who by our sins are rightly displeased?" Someone decided to write a mirror prayer to that. It starts out, "In the midst of death we are in life, O Lord." That's like Simeon. There's death all around him. There is death coming to him. He has only a little while longer in this world. He is in the midst of death, but we are in life, O Lord. This changes everything. Well, that mirror prayer continues. And to whom shall we turn but to you who have first turned to us and have come into our world to bear the displeasure that our sins have rightly deserved? So there's Simeon with Jesus in his arms, and he calls Jesus a light to lighten the Gentiles, because in Jesus' teaching, in his words, he brings the truth of the gospel to us. By his life and suffering and resurrection, he opens up heaven to us. He brings the light of God into our life. Again, Simeon holds Jesus in his arms and calls him the glory of your people Israel. He brings the kingdom of God to the whole world as it was promised to Abraham, to every family, and as it is promised in the New Testament to every tribe and people and nation and language. And now some history. Who is this Jesus that Simeon is holding in his arms? Well, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when you say the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, oh, the history runs in Israel right back to the days of the Passover and the people of Israel taking the blood of the Lamb and marking the lintel and the doorposts, making the sign of the cross on their houses. Marked by the blood of the Lamb, marked by the cross of Jesus, the people of Israel received the promises of God, eternal promises with eternity in those words, and the eternity comes to them no other way than through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Simeon, holding Jesus in his arms, where exactly is he? Why, he's in the temple. That's the Temple Mount. Do you know what happened on the Temple Mount? Way, way back in the book of Genesis. That's the same mountain. The same mountain as God directed Abraham to go to that mountain. To Abraham to bring his son Isaac to go up that mountain. And Abraham, getting to the top of that mountain, he builds the altar, he binds his son, he lays him on the altar, he takes the knife to slay his son, and God calls out to him, let me paraphrase, God calls out to him, that's far enough. You don't go any further, Abraham. You don't go any further because you are not the father who will bring his son to this mountain and sacrifice him there. You are not the father who is to give his son as a sacrifice. Guess who that father is? It is God himself sending Jesus to the mountain of sacrifice to Calvary, just outside of Jerusalem, just outside of the city walls. And all of that is in play as Simeon holds Jesus in his arms, because that curse that had been spoken on all humanity, the curse that turned our lives into limited and mortal and coming to an end one day, that curse that had spread out over the whole world was being called back by God to come back and find its center there. Because this Jesus, this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he would take that curse and pull it back into himself. And while it had spread out, touching every man, woman, and child in this world, it would come thundering back to the one spot on the one day, and Jesus would be the sacrifice. There at the temple, in the midst of life, there was death. But it was the death that turned everything around, so that in the midst of death, we are in life. Now Simeon, he has heard the promises of God. He has held the child Jesus in his arms. And everything has changed. Everything has changed because that child Jesus was going to bring life into the middle of death. He would do so healing the sick in ways that there was no medical care for them in those days. Heal the lepers separated from everything else by their disease and called unclean. To the woman caught in adultery, when the crowd was all around holding the stones to stone her. He's the life in the midst of death. To Lazarus, 4 days dead and in the tomb. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, he comes there, life in the midst of death, and he brings that life. To the thief on the cross, just moments or hours away from eternal loss, Jesus brings life to every one of us, to every human being, body and soul. Jesus brings the words of life, words of forgiveness, words of reconciliation. So we are able to go in peace. Or as we said in the confession, that I may rest in peace. This is life coming to those facing death, and there are those facing death all around us. And now he brings life, and he brings peace. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. An elusive thing. Oh, there are in this world a lot of dreams of peace and plans for peace and schemes for peace. And they help not at all on our final day. There are wishes for peace and plans for peace among the nations and between neighbors, but as many plans and schemes for peace as are put together by humanity, it's the same four-word judgment on them as somebody said about communism. Get this. Nice theory, wrong species. All of our plans for peace in this world. Nice theory, wrong species. Because there is no way we can find or bring ourselves peace. Peace is not there in a human heart separated from God. It has to come from God. And peace is given as Jesus is born. And in that birth, peace comes into our world. Because what that means is that God and man are reconciled. Once again. There is a peace that the world cannot give, and a peace that neither the entire world nor anything in it can ever take away. Jesus brings peace because he brings and restores to us the words and promises of God. And if the blessing of God is renewed in Jesus, then we have peace with God. And then let tomorrow bring what it will. We have Jesus in our lives. Pushing just a little bit further on that. And what is the witness of Jesus from the cross? The witness of Jesus from the cross is that the words and promises of God have now come once again to mankind. In Him. It is finished. There is salvation. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There is that peace and harmony and oneness again with God, because God's word has been restored to us, and it is a word that promises blessing. All those promises are bound up in this one little child, Jesus, held in the arms of Simeon on that day, who then can praise God and rejoice in salvation. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.